Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
For the last number of weeks, well, for the last couple, 2 weeks, I've been speaking about great faith and great doubt. And I believe it's Hakuin. These come from Hakuin, and he refers to them as the three essentials. These are the three essentials to practice Zen. Nantenbo was a fairly well-known Japanese Zen master, and he wrote these three lines. I'm not sure it was intended to be a haiku or not. The lines are, "If you want the moon, here it is. Catch! If you want the moon, here it is. Catch!" So most of us who come to this practice do so because we have unanswered questions or because we feel incomplete, maybe discontented, or not whole. So there's in some way a void in our lives. And if we don't have determination, the perseverance to resolve our discontent on the most fundamental level, we will, and I love this, as Bernie Glassman says, just read some books and be satisfied. I'm familiar with this. We become the great philosopher. So Zen practice, as we all know, I think, is not for the faint-hearted. And Shams, Rumi's teacher, said, "One's longing, one's search for the beneficence of God must be so strong, so intense, that like the longing of Moses, it allows no obstacle to stand in its way." So most people do not have patience or perseverance in the face of discomfort or setbacks. And if we listen carefully, we'll see that our negative self-talk is so convincing. Right? This negative self-talk is so convincing, so believable, so familiar, that we truly believe that we don't have the ability to realize ourselves. And this is a simple, subtle, but extremely profound understanding. The self-talk. And, I think we talk about this in the psychological world, but it's also extremely true, sort of in the same way, in our spiritual practice. We so deeply believe all this negative stuff, all these things that confirm our incapability to do anything. It's so familiar that we don't even question them. But it is precisely these self-defeating and negative beliefs which are the fertile ground for liberation. And to engage these negative aspects of ourselves, to embrace them and come to terms with them, we must be determined. So determination. Determination is not an obsessive or heroic quality. It's not the quality where we have furrowed brow and a red face. It is rather our humble commitment to waking up. And we keep this commitment moment by moment, breath by breath, letting go of each self-defeating thought. We become aware of it, and then we let go each of these self-defeating thoughts, each self-defeating belief that are barriers to our practice. And we practice with no sense of accomplishment. It's just practice. And instead, we trust that the process will take care of itself, dropping of the self, and just surrendering to the process. I am not trying to accomplish anything. I am not determined. But there is present profound determination. So it's called great determination because it turns towards rather than away from. It doesn't shy away from what is difficult. And it's a stepping stone into the vastness, a stepping stone into the vastness without a rope. And I love that image. I don't know how many of you have been to the edge of that cliff and have to take the final step. And realizing, hey, there's no rope. Now, this determination, this great determination, is not just for the individual. This practice for awakening must lead to action. So this determination is for ourselves, but ourselves being everything and everyone. So it's not a limited, self-centered determination. It's much bigger, much deeper than that. Now, I'm going to read a Mary Oliver poem that I've read before, but I'm going to ask that you listen to it with fresh ears. And I love this poem because, like much of poetry, it can express the issue of determination much better than just my linear talk, right? The use of metaphor. It's much more expansive and it's much deeper, I think. And so it's called The Journey. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough, and a wild night and road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voice behind, the stars began to burn through sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life that you could save. A new voice that replaces the negative voice. The voice that undermines our practice. Great faith, and that's the faith in our true nature, the fundamental faith in our true nature that it's there. Great doubt, which is surrendering to not knowing. And determination are in all of us all the time. And it's the practice of Zazen that brings these qualities to life. It always comes back to the bottom line, which is Zazen. It brings us to life. It brings these qualities to life. And when these qualities are alive, we can realize our true nature and also be of service to all aspects of life. Thank you.